Welcome to OU Torat Imecha Parsha. My name is Michal Horowitz, and today we will be studying Parshas Noach. Last week in Parshas Bereishis, we learned about the ability and the necessity of man to recreate after destruction based on the design modeled to us by God, who built and created and destroyed worlds and rebuilt and recreated new worlds until he came to this world. Today in Parshas Noach, we will actually be continuing the theme of rebuilding after destruction. To give you a parsha overview of each parak of this parsha, the main topic of the parsha, the overwhelming majority of prakim in this parsha, Parshas Noach, deal with the flood, the mabul, the great deluge that flooded the world, destroyed the world, and only saved Noach, Naama, Shem, Cham, and Yafes, their three sons, as well as the three daughters-in-law. Therefore, prakim Vav through Tes, 6, 7, 8, and 9, all deal with the story of the flood. God decides he's going to destroy the world. He tells Noach to build a teva because you are righteous before me in this generation. Takes Noach 120 years to build the teva. Ultimately, Noach and his family, along with animals, enter the teva, where they spend almost a year in the teva because of the waters of the flood. We also have the aftermath of the flood. They exit from the teva. Noach plants a vineyard. Noach gets drunk. We have the story of the keshes, when God puts his bow in the clouds as a promise that he will never destroy the world entirely again. So that's prakim vav through tes. Each part of that story, of course, has tremendous detail. Perek Yud is the Toldos B'nei Noach, the offspring, the generations that were born to Noach and his progeny, Shem, Cham, and Yafes. Chapter 11, Perek Yudal, deals with the Dor HaFlaga, the generation of disunion, who attempted to rebel against the Almighty as if it were possible by building the Tower of Babel. And at the end of chapter 11, we meet the family of Terach. Specifically, we meet Avram Avinu and his wife Yiska. Rashi tells us, a.k.a. Sarah, who we will begin our journey with next week in full force in Perek Yud Beis and Parshas Lech Lecha. So I want to continue the theme of rebuilding after destruction based on a number of psukim, specifically three psukim in Parshas Noach. In Perek Zayin, Pasuk Zayin, chapter 7, verse 7, the Pasuk tells us, actually, I'm going to go back to Psukim, Perek Zayin, Pasuk Hei. Vayas Noach kechol asher tzivau Hashem. Noach did everything that God commanded him to do. V'noach ben sheish mei oshana, and Noach was 600 years old. V'hamabul hayamayim al ha'aretz. And the flood was water upon the earth. Pasuk Zayin. Vayavo Noach uvanav. Noach and his sons came. V'ishto uneshei vanav ito. And his wife and his daughters-in-law with him. El ha'teva. Into the ark. Mipnei mei ha'mabel. Because of the waters of the flood. And Rashi points out that if you look at the nuance in the pasuk, it says that Noach and his sons, his wife and his sons' wives entered into the teva. What we have here is gender separation. Nothing in the Torah, which is something that I repeat very often in my teachings, is an accident. What is the reason for this gender separation? Rashi points out, ha'anashim levad v'hanashim levad. The men separately and the women separately. Why? Lefi shena'asu b'tashmish hamita. Marital relations were forbidden. Mipnei sheholam sharuid b'tzar. When the world is in a state of emergency, distress, and destruction, it was forbidden for them to have marital relations in the ark during this time of destruction. And therefore, the Torah alludes to that by saying Noach went with his sons, his wife went with their daughters-in-law. However, when it comes time to exit the ark, and now we skip to Perek Ches, Pasuk Tes Zayin. Vayidaber Elokim al Noach Lemur. Sorry, that's Perek Ches, Pasuk Tes Vav. And Elokim spoke to Noach saying, and now we come to Perek Ches, Pasuk Tes Zayin. Tzei min hateva, exit the ark. Ata you v'ishtecha, and your wife, uvanecha, and your sons, unesheva necha itach, and the wives of your sons with you. If you notice here, there is no gender separation. These are the only adults left in the world at this time, and they are told, they're only human beings, I should say, not adults, only humans left in the world. And who should exit the ark? You and your wife, your sons and their wives with them. And Rashi says, ish v'ishto, when it's come time to exit the ark, it's each man with his wife. Kan hitir lahem tashmish hamita. Once again, marital relations were permitted because it was time to pru urvu umilu asaras v'kivshua. The next pasuk Yud-Zayin says Hashem commands them, Uparu v'ravu al ha'aretz. It is time to be fruitful. It's time to multiply. It's time to repopulate the world. It's time to rebuild after destruction. And yet there is something very peculiar, because after they are told to be fruitful and multiply, in Parak Ches, pasuk Yud Ches, Vayetze Noach Taka exits the ark. Uvanav and his sons, the Ishto and his wife, Unishevanav Ito, oh my, and the daughters-in-law with him. So even though they were commanded to leave in pairs in terms of spouses, when they actually leave the ark, it reverts back to gender separation the way they entered the ark. Noach left the Teva with his sons, the males together. His wife and his daughters-in-law leave, the females together. Rashi, interestingly, does not comment on this seeming peculiarity in the Torah. Why, if God commanded them, and Noah is a man who does everything God commands him to do, why, if God commands him to leave men with wives, why do they leave gender separated, men with men and women with women? Rav Shmuel Golden points out a very beautiful insight in his Unlocking the Torah text, Sefer Bereishit. Rav Shmuel Golden asks this question, and then he answers, imagine the scene of total devastation that greets the members of Noah's family as they begin to exit the ark. How deep their despair must have been, how overwhelming their sense of aloneness in the face of such tragedy and destruction. How can one possibly trust in the future? How can one contemplate the thought of rebuilding, of beginning again? How can Noach, he thinks to himself, and his wife Na'ama possibly be together? Should they have more children? How could Shem, Ham, and Yafes be with their wives when they face a scene of total havoc? The tohu v'vohu v'choshech al p'nei tohom, the chaos, the darkness that ruled the earth back in the beginning of time, seems to have come back now. Should they be together with their wives and repopulate? It is so awesomely frightening to contemplate this ideal. So Rabbi Golden continues and he writes, Noach and his children seem paralyzed by the scene before them. They trust neither God nor themselves. They do not believe they can be successful in building a new world. They are unable to imagine the benevolent protection of a God who could visit such destruction upon mankind. And so man and woman leave the ark separately. They simply cannot contemplate the future. And so they're human beings. And though God told them, you should leave together, indicating that marital relations were permitted, it is not something that they can actually carry through with immediately upon exiting the ark. On the one hand, writes Rabbi Golden, civilization continues. Noach's children have children. I mentioned in the Parsha summary that in Parak Yod, chapter 10, we have the summary of the Toldos Bnei Noach, the progeny that result ultimately from the families of Shem, Ham, and Yafes. And yes, the world is populated, writes Rabbi Golden, in the aftermath of the flood. But on the other hand, on a personal level, Noach never moves past the tragedy of the world's destruction. The text chronicles his spiritual descent. He plants a vineyard. He drinks from the wine. He falls into a drunken stupor. All of this indicates that when he faces the destruction before him, Noach escapes in the only way that he can. The man who has saved the world is transformed into a tragic figure right before our eyes. And therefore, in Parachas, Pasuk Yud Ches, Vayetze Noach uvanav, v'ishto unishevanav ito. And so Noach exited the Teva along with his sons, and his wife exited the Teva along with their daughters-in-law, the wives of their sons, teaching us that at that moment, the thought of rebuilding after destruction was so awesome that they could not possibly face it. They had no hope for the future. They could not even contemplate bringing new children into this world. Points to ponder, Rav Shmuel Golden concludes. Noach's struggle and failure should move us to consider the spiritual heroism of a generation in a different time. In the aftermath of World War II, survivors of the Shoah emerged. I personally am a descendant of four Holocaust survivors. All my four grandparents survived the Holocaust. They exited the Holocaust, the Shoah. A world was utterly, completely, totally annihilated and destroyed by the evil of man, who reached levels that the Satan could not even imagine. And yet, writes Rabbi Golden, survivors of the Shoah emerged one by one from ghettos, concentration camps, forests, hiding. And they faced a world of cruelty and horror, a world that had been totally destroyed, their families murdered. They could have given up. Who could have called them to task? Had the survivors said, "We have lost faith. We have lost faith in the world, lost faith in God. We have lost faith in our very own selves." Perhaps they may have been paralyzed, just like Noach, unable to continue. And however, says Rabbi Golden, that was not their response. With unimaginable strength, with great spirit, these survivors rebuilt their worlds. They married. They had children. They had grandchildren. I, like many of you listeners, are probably descendants of Holocaust survivors. They successfully created professions and careers. They refused to succumb to the destruction, and they lived courageously, moral lives. The contributions of that generation to the Jewish community at large and to Medinat Yisrael in particular are immeasurable. And the families they built in the aftermath of their own indescribable personal tragedies will continue to shape the story of our people for generations. And he ends this piece, Rabbi Golden, by saying, quote, "Where Noach failed, they succeeded." Many of the survivors exited their ark, witnessing tremendous destruction, unspeakable horrors, things we can never imagine. May the Almighty save us. We should never be forced to contemplate. And we know that they married in the DP camps. We know that many of those first children after the survivors were actually born. My father was born in Czechoslovakia. They were born in the land of affliction. And so God commands Noach, and God understands that man has a need to rebuild. And God says to Noach, "Tse mina teva, when you leave the ark, go out together with your spouse, ata, you v'ishtecha, and your wife, uvanecha, your sons, unashevanecha, they should go with their wives." Noach can't do it. Noach leaves separately. There's gender separation upon fleeing the ark. And I thought that it was very, very interesting to contrast this with Avraham Avinu, who we meet at the end of Parshas Noach. We actually meet Avraham Avinu in Perek Yir Aleph, Pasuk of Zayin, which is at the end of Parshas Noach. Avram and his wife, Yiska. And it's interesting that Noach did not become the father of the Uma Yisraelis. He was only at Tzadik Tamim Haya Bedorasav Etta Elohim Hitaleich Noach. Yes, he was a righteous, pure man, but only in his generation. And Rashi famously tells us on those opening words of Parshas Noach, in the beginning of Perek Vav, in his generation, he was righteous. In the generation of Avraham Avinu, Hayanechshav Keklum, he would have been considered nothing. Maybe one of the reasons that Noach goes down in history with mixed reviews, if you will, and Avraham Avinu pivots himself, pilots himself, rockets himself to heroism and establishes the Ummah Yisraelis is because Noach cannot rebuild after destruction. And if you look at the progeny of Avraham Avinu, Ko Yezer Rechaim Tuchal Isparo Tzam, next week's Parsha, God said your children will be like the stars. If you can count them, that's how your children will be. Unlike Noah, who could not rebuild, Knesset Yisrael, the children of Avraham Avinu, who had 10 tests and stood up after each one, V'amad B'kulam, after each test, Avraham Avinu withstood, stood up, rebuilt, went on, didn't give up, didn't throw in the towel. If you look at the death, after the death of Sarai, he takes Keturah, he has more children. He is constantly rebuilding, and is a trait that Avraham Avinu passed on to his children. Kol ma she'ira la'avot siman l'banim, everything that happened to our forefathers is a siman, a sign, foreshadowing of us. Knesset Yisrael is a nation that knows how to rebuild time and again after destruction. We have never given up. We have never despaired. We have never thrown in the towel, even facing the most horrific destruction. Knesset Yisrael picks themselves up, brushes off the ashes, and says, "Now we will rebuild." Noach could not do it. We're not blaming Chas v'Sham. We're just commenting on the passages in Torah and expounding them. Noach couldn't do it, and he does not become the father of the Ummah Yisraelis. Avraham Avinu Perakei of Pirkei Avos, right at the beginning, Mishnah Gimel or Dalet. Avraham Avinu was tested with 10 tests, and he withstood them all. It's at the end of Parshas Noach that we meet Avraham Avinu, who withstood his 10 tests, who rebuilt after each one, who passed on to his children the ability to recreate, rebuild, refashion, go on. to continue to believe in God and to believe in ourselves come what may. I wish you a wonderful week. I wish you a wonderful Shabbos. And Be'ezras Hashem, we will continue next week with Parshas Lech Lecha. Thank you all for tuning in to Torah Imecha Parsha.